My guest this morning is Brad Capener. He's a former superintendent of Jefferson School District in Jefferson, Oregon, and now he's coordinating the school improvement team at the Southern Oregon Education Service District. Brad is responsible for launching the new Southern Oregon Career Center in Jackson County. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure being here.
So tell me about the work you do at the Southern Oregon ESD.
Sure. Well, the Education Service District, or ESD, supports school districts through Jackson, Josephine, and Klamath counties in a variety of ways. And districts contract services with us, for example, you know, special education services, professional development for teachers. And then there's the school improvement umbrella where I work, and that is working with career technical education. And so we're supporting high schools throughout the three counties in building those programs.
When you say three counties, which three counties?
Klamath, Josephine, and Jackson.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And then we support all children of all ages with their career aptitudes and interests, and kind of building that from a very young age up to high school, in kind of reinforcing STEAM education, which is an acronym that stands for science, technology,
engineering,
yeah, thank you, and arts and mathematics.
Okay, so this new career center you're launching, when did it launch?
So I was brought on last year to put together the second regional career center in Oregon. The first is Willamette Career Academy in Salem. And I used to send, in my former position, I used to send 18 students there a year. And I have to tell you, it was transformational for them. It just transformed their lives. And we're looking to do the same thing here. So we're looking to put together, and we're launching, actually, our career center this September with three programs.
And that's here in Medford?
Yeah.
And so this will be the second one in the entire state?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the student capacity for that center?
So we can have up to 25 students in a class. Mm-hmm. And right now we're with three programs. We're starting really small. We just have one program for a medical assisting program. We have one for behavioral health, and we have one for an emergency medical services program. So three programs we hope to expand, and so we have two each year. So for example, this year we're just going to have groups of juniors, and then next year those juniors will become seniors, and we'll take out a new group of juniors, and so we'll run a morning and an afternoon session. But right now we're just going to start with a morning session.
Okay, and how did those particular career fields get selected?
Yeah, great question. So I have an advisory committee, and when we looked at healthcare is one of the industries with the largest need. You know, people, there's vacancies, lots of vacancies throughout the state. And for example, in 2019, Rogue Valley had 551 vacancies in healthcare. And in 2023, that number increased to 1,976. So this is a growing area. And so when I brought the advisory committee together, which is representatives from Asante, Providence, La Clinica, all of the different healthcare groups here at the table, Valley Media Care, and so forth. I asked them, "What do you need? What would be beneficial for us to build?" And they came back with several. One being a medical assistant, mm-hmm. and one being a phlebotomist and a public service representative. They thought that those pieces would be really helpful for them, and so we created a program where students can get certificates in all three of those. And so by the time they graduate as a senior, they can actually go right into the workforce with those certificates and do any one of those three jobs.
And going right into the workforce in those three occupations, what's the average income?
It varies depending on the region. And so what we're trying to do is place students with in-demand careers with high wage capabilities, right?
Right.
And so and I don't have the specific what you would enter into right here, but it's going to be something that is higher than going to work for, a minimum wage type of job.
And these are livable wage jobs.
These are livable wage jobs. In fact, one of our desires is to help students who are living perhaps a life of poverty and showing them a career and a way out
So this is economic mobility.
This is totally economic mobility.
Okay. And so where would the center be located?
So we're starting off in Medford. The vision is to be able to have satellites in all three counties, since we serve three counties.
Is there a particular place in Medford? Is it going to be housed within another building that's already existing, or is it going to be a standalone?
For this coming year, we really established our partnerships with our community partners.
Yep.
So Valley Immediate Care is going to house our medical assisting program.
Okay.
And Health and Human Services is going to give us these are in-kind donations. They're not charging us to have classrooms in their facilities. Health and Human Services is giving us a classroom for behavioral health. And then our Mercy Flights is donating space for our emergency medical services program. In the future, we're looking at a building and looking for donors to help us with purchasing a building. When that happens, we can put all of our programs in one location, and then we can start to expand and build like into the trades, which we're really interested in doing over time.
So this is a public-private partnership?
It absolutely is, yes. That's vital for us.
So these students that are coming to the Career Center, how do they integrate their normal academic schedules with the career training?
Yeah, excellent question, and this comes up a lot. We really work in tandem with the school counselors. And so students apply, and they get accepted through their own school district, and then they come here. So they have to go through a process in their own schools to see if they have enough credits, if they can do it. And then the counselor works through their schedule and says, okay, well, if you're going to be gone every morning, because our program runs 5 days a week, mm-hmm. Just in the mornings, and then they go back to their high school in the afternoons. So they have to be able to make it work for their schedules so that they're not credit deficient.
Okay. My guest is Brad Capener. He's the School Improvement Coordinator at the Southern Oregon Education Service District. So with regard to the training process, they're just coming in the mornings and they're going back to their regular schools after that, what happens during that training process in the morning? You're starting with medical assistant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you also have the qualified mental health associate. And what's the other one? The emergency medical technician.
Yes.
So those are the three,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
What happens?
Great. So there's it's a two-year program, and over that period of time, there's a certain amount of classroom instruction. So students will be in learning with an instructor, and there's labs in each program, and so they simulate what. So for a medical assisting, we'll have actual hospital beds and, you know, look just like a little medical room, and they can go in and practice as if they're there. And then what happens as the program moves forward is they work with the hospital and go actually there in person. Over a period of time. So they're going to get a mentor. So every student's going to have a mentor in the health field. And those people are going to help them work, and we're going to place them in, say, Providence or La Clinic or one of these places. They're going to spend time actually hands-on learning. So students, at the end of this, they have interview skills that they've developed. We're going to help them with that. They have a mentor. They are connected with higher education, so they understand where to go if once they receive their certificate, what they can do in their next step. For example, the emergency medical services, the student comes out with an EMT certificate. They can go right into becoming an EMT. But if they want to ultimately become a paramedic or a firefighter, then we're handing them off to RCC in their program. But the beauty of it is they save money, right, and time, because they already have their EMT, and then they can go in and become a paramedic, and they can work while they're doing that.
So we see they're familiar with the surroundings. They have some level of internship experience.
Yep. Yes.
All of that is happening while they're still in high school.
Correct. Saves them time, saves them money. The other key piece here is we're working in tandem with industry. Industry is literally at the table with us. So they are helping to inform the program and what they're wanting to see out of their students. And sometimes there's a disconnect, right? When industry and K-12 education, when they're not talking, sometimes there can be a little disconnect. And so when kids come out, it's like, well, it would have been great if we had taught this piece. Well, we're taking that away by having industry at the table, helping to guide all the way. We also have our partners at RCC who are also, you know, for the medical assisting, we're using their curriculum. They purchased our textbooks for us. So we're in very much a partnership with them. And so as kids are coming out, you know, we're making sure that they have all the skills and everything they need to be successful.
And each of the kids get a mentor, or is there a group assigned to a mentor?
Every student gets a mentor in the medical assisting program. We're still working out the details for behavioral health to see if there's going to, you know, how we would do mentorship. But at this point, that's where we're starting with mentoring, is in medical assisting.
And what's the cost to the students?
So the cost of the students is nothing. The cost actually comes from the school districts pay for this. So part of their ADM, the money that students, every school district gets money from the state for every student they have. And so a portion of that funding comes to us. But it can be paid in grants. You know, they might have a high school success grant, and they can, you know, use some of that money to help support their students in this program. So it's about $5,800 a year. Per student. And so this, for the student, it's no cost at all. They have all of this training. They're ready for a career. It costs them nothing other than showing up to school every day.
Costs them time and energy.
Yeah.
So what about homeschoolers? Are they eligible? And how do you select these students?
Yeah, absolutely. Homeschoolers are absolutely desired. Sometimes the trick is finding, you know, being able to promote what we're doing and to homeschool families. We are, you know, attempting to do our outreach. And so, yeah, anyone who's listening who's, you know, into homeschooling, we definitely would be interested in having that conversation with them.
Okay. So what's the cost for this center to operate? What's the annual budget?
We're starting off about $300,000 to run the program. It's going to obviously expand. So as we add more students and add more programs, the budget's going to expand accordingly. But that's kind of where we're starting. We're starting small, and we're looking to receive some more donors and more support and grants and so forth so that we can continue to build and sustain our program.
So if anyone is interested, what should they do now?
In supporting us? Or
the students, and also any industry interests that are wanting to partner with you and get involved, what should they do so you have both sides?
Yeah. So we have a website, SouthernOregonCareerCenter.org.
Yeah.
SouthernOregonCareerCenter.org. And they can reach out and say that they're interested. And we have a staff person who observes and watches for that and would give that information to me, and I'll follow up with them.
Okay. And so students that are interested in these career fields, how do they get involved?
Students would go to their counselor, their school counselor. That's the first step.
How would they know about it?
Part of it is just, you know, doing the outreach like I'm doing right now and, you know, going out and I talk to different groups and through schools this year we'll be doing some outreach and, you know, going around to schools and talking about the program. The school districts that have signed up with us, so not every school district has, you know, signed up with us at this point, but we have several working with us as partners. And so it's their counselors. Sometimes they invite me out to classrooms and I go and do a lot of speaking and recruiting that way. So it's just kind of word of mouth. And I think once students get into the program, this will be our first, you know, launching our first year here. And a lot of this has, you know, just word of mouth. This is what I'm doing, and it's going to build excitement over time. That's what I saw happen at Willamette Career Academy. It was so much of it was just that word of mouth.
Okay, and so this is really starting with high school juniors.
It is, yeah. It's a two-year program, high school juniors. We can accept some seniors. For example, the medical assisting program, they could get a phlebotomy certificate in year one. So they could finish with that in their senior year. They if they don't finish the whole program, we can also hand them off to RCC. So if they did a year program with us, they're getting dual credit, and that dual credit will transfer over to RCC, and they can cut off year and money for themselves to finish their certificate there.
That sounds like a fantastic opportunity. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.